In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins, for the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. As you know, today is Holy Thursday. We begin the Paschal Triduum, in which we celebrate and contemplate the mystery of our redemption, right? What Jesus did for us to save us from sin. And for that, it's good for us to use our imagination, to imagine what it was like to be there, to try to picture Jesus in different scenes and in his suffering especially. We can revisit the Gospel of Mark. We just read the whole Passion of Mark on Palm Sunday. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the praetorium, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck his head with a reed and spat upon him, and they knelt down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. Just a few sentences in this gospel, and yet they're so full of amazing things, amazing suffering. And to think, Lord Jesus, that you are God, and he lets himself be spit on and insulted and beat up, and then crucified, right? Led out to be nailed to a cross and left to die. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. It's kind of neat, isn't it, that Simon of Cyrene is just passing by, and he's not there for any particular reason. Many people were in Jerusalem because of the Passover, and so Jews and others would come from all over to be there for that feast. And so Simon just happens to be there. And in our imagination, Lord, we can say, well, what if I just happened to be there? If you were just passing by and you saw this crowd, and then you looked up the hill and you realized, well, there's a bunch of Roman soldiers there and a lot of commotion. And then you saw those three crosses, right, with three men on those crosses. Like, what would you think? What would you think was happening? And I guess it really depends on how much background knowledge you had, right? How much you knew about the people or about the situation. If you didn't know who they were at all, you would just think, well, the Romans, this is what they do to criminals. This is what they do to revolutionaries, right? Crucifixion, capital punishment was kind of like just a fact of life in the ancient world. And so you might feel sorry for them. Oh, poor guys, they got caught. It's kind of rough, nasty scene. But you wouldn't think much of it, right? If you didn't know who it was, what was happening. Maybe you knew about Jesus a little bit and you heard that he was a prophet. Maybe you knew that the Jews were looking for a Messiah who they thought would be a political hero, right, to lead them out of subjection to Rome. And then you saw that it was Jesus and you'd be like, oh man, well, I was kind of rooting for him. I hoped that he would get us out of these taxes and stuff, but I guess it didn't work out, right? Another Messiah that didn't work out. Or another failure. But what if you were one of his disciples? Or what if you knew someone who was healed by him and you heard some of his sermons and you decided to follow him. Well, then, in a way, it would be better because there'd be a glimmer of hope because maybe you were around when Jesus predicted his passion and death. And when you first heard it, you were like, wow, that's never going to happen. What the heck? How could that ever happen to Jesus? And now it was happening. Well, maybe that would give you some sort of hope. Well, he told us something like this would happen, and he talked about rising from the dead. So maybe there's still hope. But at the same time, how devastating that would be, right? That your master, your Lord, the one who you sacrificed for, you started following, you believed in, was dying on the cross. It'd be like shock. It'd be so shocking. And so maybe you'd be so sad and scared and shocked that you could hardly remember what he said about this moment. But what if you were with him at the Last Supper? St. John is there at the foot of the cross of Mary. And St. John was with him at the Last Supper. Well, if you were St. John or anyone else who was at the Last Supper, you would have a chance to know something incredible. And you would have a chance to know that Jesus is loving us on the cross. That his life is not just being taken from him, but that he's giving his life on the cross for us. Because at the Last Supper, Jesus, you give us a kind of code to interpret the cross. He tells us the meaning of it in Mass. He tells us the meaning of the cross at the Last Supper. For instance, we look at the Gospel of Luke, and we hear words very similar to words we say at every Mass, and tonight on Holy Thursday we celebrate the first Mass commemorating what Jesus did at the Last Supper in the Cenacle. If I can find it, I wrote down the wrong chapter. And when the hour came, he sat at table and the apostles with him. This is St. Luke's account of tonight, Holy Thursday. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I shall not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. But I have earnestly desired, the Greek says, with desire I have desired. And so Jesus doesn't just love us by like generosity. Jesus really loves us. He desires our souls. He desires to give himself to us. He wants to be with us. He wants to give himself for us. With desire, I have desired to do this, right? To give you my body. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after supper, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. And so if you were at the Last Supper, right, you would hear Jesus say this. You would see him take bread and say, this is my body, which is given for you. And then take wine and say, this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new covenant. And then if you could see him on the cross, you'd realize, wow, that's what he was talking about last night. He was talking about not just bread and wine, somehow turned into his body and his blood, but he was talking about what he's doing on the cross, or what's happening to him on the cross. He's giving himself for me. And so Jesus, if we knew that, and we don't, we do know it with our faith, because we have the whole story now. If we knew that, Jesus, and we can see you on the cross, we would be so grateful. We'd be so struck by how much God loves us. Everything that Jesus lets happen to him, from tonight through his death on the cross and his being put in the tomb tomorrow evening, right? Everything he does for love of us. And as sinners, we don't have to earn that love, right? You don't have to like be good enough to get that love. You just have to be you and be open to receiving it. Jesus loves you anyway. He loves all sinners, even before they confess or are sorry or convert or realize that they need his help. He dies for sinners on the cross. Everything he does on the cross, he does for love of us. And that's so good for us to imitate, Lord, that We can do all sorts of things, but why am I doing them? What am I really doing? What am I doing when I do anything? Well, that's up to you. It's up to your freedom, and it's up to your mind. If you do anything that's not a sin, you can do it for yourself, just to get it done, because you have to, because you like it. Or you can do it for those reasons too, but also for love, right? For God, for others. JFK once visited NASA during the build-up to the moon landing. And he was kind of touring the facility there where they were working on this. And he ran into a janitor who was there, like sweeping the floor. And he said to him, what do you do here? And the janitor said, I'm helping put a man on the moon. Right? And so in this guy's heart, in his mind, he wasn't just sweeping floors because he had to like feed his family or pay the bills. He wasn't just at a job because he had to. But he was part of something bigger, doing his part. And this is us, right? This is us. A little thing, St. Jose Maria says, done for love is worth so much. A little thing done for love is worth so much. What do I do things for? And in Holy Week and on Good Friday, we remind ourselves that the better I am, the better off Jesus has it. It's kind of mysterious. But the less we sin, the less Jesus suffers on the cross and in his passion. The more I offer things to you, Lord, the more I'm faithful to you, the better I am, the more consoled and comforted you are in your passion. Why? Because, okay, the passion is over, of course, but on the cross and in his passion, Jesus is suffering then for the sins of the world now. And when he looks out from the cross and he sees people who are good, like his mother and St. John and the other holy women that are there, right, he's comforted. He's like, wow, these people are good. They're here with me. They haven't left me. That helps him. Well, if Jesus suffers for our sins then, well, then the less we sin, the more we console Jesus, the lighter we make his cross. And the better we are now, right, the less Jesus has to suffer. And so the saints talk this way. St. Jose Maria says, lighten the cross for Jesus. Right? Do things for him. He suffered for you. Do things for him. Especially the things we find difficult, our own sufferings, right? We find meaning that Jesus did this for me, I can do it for him. His sufferings made up for sin, my sufferings can make up for sin too, because I'm a member of the body of Christ, right? You are another Christ, I'm another Christ. And so there are sins happening in the world right now, all over the world, terrible things. And Jesus suffered on the cross for those sins, and we are his church, we are his body. And so when we suffer, we give something up, right? We skip breakfast tomorrow on Good Friday or whatever, right? Or something bad happens, you stub your toe and you offer it to God. That makes a difference. It's not a joke. It's not just something your grandmother says to tell you, you know, help you to shut up. Right? Offer it up. Stop complaining. It's real. Yeah, it's real. You are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ makes up for sins, right? On the cross and in our own life. I remember in 2017, I went to the Holy Land on a pilgrimage with college students. And on Friday, we did the Way of the Cross in the streets of Jerusalem. And the last few stations, maybe three or four, are inside this church called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And of course, in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, you have the Holy Sepulchre, which is the empty tomb. So inside the church is like this other mini church, which encases the place where Jesus' body was laid and where the resurrection took place. But it also, the church also includes Golgotha, Calvary, the rock, the hill on which Jesus died. And so you go into the church and you're praying the Stations of the Cross. And the first thing you do there is climb these stairs. And basically, you're basically climbing Mount Calvary. And on the top, there's this chapel. And under the altar, and there's this icon of our Lord and St. John, a big icon of our Lord and the cross and St. John and Our Lady, on either side of the cross. And there's an altar. And under the altar, in the floor, there's a hole. And so you can kneel down and crawl under the altar. And you can put your hand down and touch ground. And you're touching the rock of Calvary. You're touching the ground on which Jesus was crucified. And you can take, like I have this scapular. It's more like a Swiss Army knife of metals. It has like five or six on there, including a scapular. And you can, and I took that and a crucifix, and you can kind of touch it down. And you can do the same thing in the Holy Sepulchre. You can touch it to where Jesus' body laid, right, more or less, in that spot. And as we were climbing the stairs, I remember, you know, we were very moved because it's amazing, right, to do the way of the cross in the very city, very close to the places where these things happened to Jesus. And then you're climbing the stairs, basically climbing the same mount that he climbed to die for us on the cross. And this college student was in front of me, and he turned around, and I remember, I'll never forget, he said to me, "This is too much." And I tried to say back, "Yeah, this is too much." But I was choked up, so like, it was amazing, right? And that's true, right? It's too much. It's too much. Jesus loves us too. God loves us too much. And St. John, when he opens his account of the Passion, says, "Having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end." Right? He loved them to the end. Jesus, which means you loved us to the last moment of your life, to the last breath of your body, to the last drop of blood. Right? He loved us to the end of his human life. But the word in Greek is very deep. The word is telos, which means he loved us to the goal. Right? He loved us to the fulfillment. He loved us to the limit. And the limit of God's love is infinite. It's God. And so God loves us too much. And this is something the saints realize, and it changes their life. Right? It frees them not to worry about themselves, and it frees them to love others, and it frees them to suffer redemptively, right? To accept their sufferings for God. St. Jose Maria, contemplating the Mass, says, God has fallen in love with humanity. The Blessed Trinity has fallen in love with humanity. And another place he says, God is madly in love with you. God is crazy, crazy about all of us. We see that on the cross, and we see that in the Mass. It's too much. "Ah," said St. Mary Magdalene of Pazzi, which is a good name for her, because Pazzi means crazy people. "Ah," said St. Mary Magdalene of Pazzi, "if a single drop of what I feel in my heart were to fall into hell, hell would at once become heaven." And what does she feel in her heart? Well, the love of God, and who God is, and what God is really like. She's a mystic. St. John of the Cross, "If you had seen a ray of the glory of my beloved, you would endure 1,000 deaths to see it again. And having seen it again, you would want to die again in order to see it once more." What an amazing statement, right? If you had seen a ray of the glory of my beloved, right? How wonderful God is in himself. How much God loves us. How awesome God is in himself. God who is love. "You would endure 1,000 deaths to see it again. And having seen it again, you would want to die again in order to see it once more." So these are things, Lord, that we'll see in heaven. We'll know in heaven. But before then, we take it on faith and we see it on the cross. Having loved those who were his own in the world, he loved them to the end, or he loved them to the limit. And that's important for us, right? That we, you know, we shouldn't be calculating with God. Or we shouldn't be calculating with God. What does that mean? Well, it's, you know, life is hard, and we can start to worry about ourselves. And, you know, on the one hand, we don't want to feel too guilty. We don't want to feel ashamed. We don't want to go to hell. We don't want to be a bad person. And so we don't want to be too bad. But on the other hand, it's like, well, being good is kind of hard too, right? And what's going to happen if I'm too good? And, you know, are people still going to think I'm cool or whatever? It'll be too, right? We worry about being too good. What's God going to ask of me? What might happen? Blah, blah, blah. And so it's very easy to kind of like compromise and think, well, okay, let's make a compromise here. I don't want to be too good because that sounds really hard. And I don't want to be too bad either because, you know, who wants to go to hell? And so we start calculating, right? Well, how good do I have to be not to be too good? And how bad can I get away with being and still feel okay about myself and not burn forever in the fires of hell, right? And, you know, that's okay. It's better than nothing, right? It's better than just rushing straight along into hell. But it's kind of like, well, you know, it's like, well, God loves us too much. And so you can't trust God enough. You can't trust God too much. And if, you know, if God loves us with this radical love, with this wild love, he creates you out of nothing just because he loves you. Right? He gets on the cross for each one of you. He gives his body in every mass for all of us. Well, that's like a model. It's like, well, I can love him more daringly, right? I can take the brakes off of my love. I can trust him, Lord. I can trust you with that thing that I'm kind of suspicious about. Like, I really don't trust you that much to take care of this thing. Or if I tried to change this, I really don't think it would. Right? Those little things that we have, those little doubts, those little fears about forgiving someone, about growing in some way, about facing something. Right? About what others think about us or will think about us, right? Whatever it is, we all have those fears that we know, yeah, it's probably better to do this, but I don't really trust him enough. I'm going to work on it. Well, those are moments, right, to say, okay, I'm going to love God too much. It seems like too much to me now, but I'm going to try to love him back. He loves me too much. He loves me with all the love that there is. I can try to love him more like that, right, by trusting him in that way. And this is what, you know, what does the cross teach us, Lord Jesus? It teaches us that you are totally reliable, right? There's nothing God won't do for us, right? There's nothing God won't do for us. St. John on the cross says, if he could have done something better, like than the Mass, which is the cross, he would have done it, right? If he could have done something better for you, he would have done it. But that was the best he can do, right? To become food for us. Amazing. To die for us on the cross and become food for us. Amazing thing. And this gives us a great confidence, right? That no matter what happens, no matter how sinful we are, no matter how many times we mess up, Jesus still loves us, right? And there's still a way forward. Nothing will stop God from loving you. St. Paul hammers this home in a famous passage in Romans. And it comes from thinking about Jesus' love on the cross. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ who died, yes, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And nothing can separate us from God's love for us in Christ. Right? That's how powerful it is. It's all the love that there is. not death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we can add our own things, right? Not Trump winning the election, not Biden winning the election, right? Not another virus, not failing to get into a good college, right? Not being made fun of by some other people in my class, right? Not, I don't know what else you're afraid of. Peanuts, if you have a peanut allergy. Not, I don't know, right? Losing the Celtics, losing to the Knicks in the playoffs, which is going to happen, so just get ready for that. It's totally going to happen. Can't wait. Right, whatever. Right, whatever you're afraid of, whatever you think might happen, it's, it's going to be so hard. God's going to take care of you, right? God's still going to love you. All we have to do is trust God and do what's right, and we're going to be okay, even if the worst happens. And this is Jesus' experience. The worst happened to him. The worst possible thing happened to him for love of us. And did God take care of him? Of course. He's in heaven now. He's resurrected. He's the king of the universe. We love him. He loves us. Why? Because he trusted God's will. He kept doing God's will. Even was very hard for him. Very hard for him. So Jesus, help us to realize that, you know, since you love us, we're going to be okay. Nothing could separate us from your love for us, from the love that God the Father has for us in you. And so we can be confident, we can be happy, even though we live in a world at times that's kind of troubled, right? We have our own anxieties and our own troubles and our own worries. Right? What's important is we're safe with him. And even if we mess up, right, even if we do sin, well, we just start over, right? That's why Jesus on the cross for sinners, right? God dies for sinners. St. Paul says that we know that in everything, God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Right? All things work into the good for those who love God. And St. Augustine, who was a huge sinner, said even our sins, right, God even uses our faults and sins for our good once we decide to say we're sorry and love him again. We go to Our Lady. How courageous is Our Lady? Right? Standing at the foot of the cross. And God asked her for something huge there. And that was hard for her to give. God asked her to say yes to her son's sacrifice. Right? Jesus accepted his death. What he was doing, as we know from the Last Supper, and we know from our faith, what he was doing was dying on purpose, right? He wasn't killing himself, but he was letting himself undergo this to give himself for us. And he asked his mother, right, someone very close to him, to say yes to that, to offer him to God the Father with his own offering. And so when we find it hard, Mary, to accept what God wants or to take that next step, give us the courage and trust that you had at the foot of the cross. Because that was very hard, right, for Our Lady to accept God's plan for her son. And she did it because she knew that it would help him, right? She knew that it would be a way of loving him. And so we go to her, Mary, at the foot of the cross. Pray for us. Help us to have the courage and the trust that you had at the foot of the cross. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations which you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.